morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, day two of the Republican National Convention. You can see Fiserv Forum over our shoulders. We just had a little burst of rain.
I guess so.
It kind of came out of nowhere, but the sun is coming back out. But if you're heading to downtown Milwaukee, you may want to bring along an umbrella just in case. Calvin is back at the studio in Waukesha running the board and taking your calls at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We want you to be a voter, Greg Bach.
Be a voter. Be cool.
All the cool kids are voting.
Yes.
Be a voter. Wisconsin's fall primary, August 13th. It is coming up very quickly, so make a plan to vote in every election. It's very, very important now more than ever, from state to local matters. Make sure you make a plan to be a voter, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's anybody wants to be a voter. And you can find out all the information that you need at myvote.wy.gov. myvote.wy.gov. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He is a staff attorney for Law Forward. Scott Thompson is here. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing?
Good morning. I am doing all right. How are you folks today?
We are
doing
wonderful.
Well.
Getting a little warm now.
Yeah.
That the sun is coming out here in downtown Milwaukee, but we are good. Yesterday, Scott, we talked about what happened in Glendale a couple of weeks ago with some people who were ostensibly election observers who really gummed up the works by challenging practically every ballot and every absentee ballot that came their way. One of them had a scratch on it, and they thought that that scratch should be disqualified. So we know that they have rights as election observers. We want to talk about what rights voters have when they go to cast their ballots.
Sure. I just want to underline the thing you said earlier. Everyone should make a plan. Everyone should get ready to vote. There is a lot of conversation that happens around the edges about election administration, challenges, this and that. All of that is on the margins. What matters most is that folks register to vote and that they get out to vote. You know, you have the right and you've got to exercise it.
It is. It's critically important. And I know that there are people who feel one vote isn't going to make a difference. My voting isn't going to make a difference in this election. Don't forget, folks, that in 2020, Joe Biden only won here by 20,000 votes. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's five people in every town in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes. And so that's why we are really encouraging everyone to have a plan and make sure that you are registered to vote.
Jane, you're totally right. And I think it's important when you hear folks comment on, like, why does my one vote matter? Well, it matters because, first of all, in Wisconsin, we have a culture of voting. We have successful elections, safe, secure elections. And you might think that just because your single vote might not be the deciding one, you know, frankly, that might be true. But in reality, when people learn that their neighbors, that their friends are voting, that they have plans to vote, it makes everyone around you more likely to do the same. So just because the election might not be decided by a single vote, in my opinion, doesn't really matter. What matters is that here in Wisconsin, we care about voting. We care about making sure that our voices are heard, and we care about spreading that culture of electoral inclusivity.
Well, and as you said, Scott, we actually have pretty good numbers when it comes to voter turnout, but even our pretty good numbers are still kind of pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, I think in other places around the globe that you know, there are other places where you can see that voter turnout, when it's mandated, for example, can be through the roof. But that's just how it works in Wisconsin and across the United States. You have the right to vote, and you also have the right to choose whether to exercise it. You know, I can tell you, you know, especially in light of the events in Glendale, you know, there are people out there that frankly are trying to gum things up. But that doesn't mean that your right is in any way compromised by what crazy folks want to do. You have a right to vote, and now is really the season where, again, it's important to make sure you're registered at your current address and make sure you have a plan to vote either absentee ballot before Election Day or on Election Day this August and come November.
And I think, too, Scott, it's important to remind folks that, especially like the August primary coming up on August 13th, with two constitutional amendments on the ballot, that will directly impact you if you live in Wisconsin. That is going to directly impact whether or not the governor is able to have discretion when it comes to spending federal emergency dollars, or whether or not it's going to go to the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee where they can sit on it for another 3 years while it gains interest or whatever it is that they do on those piles of money they like to sit on. So more than ever, even more than national elections, which are the sexy ones, you know, the voting for president, but it's these smaller local elections with statewide issues on them or even citywide or townwide issues on them, those do have a direct impact on you, and that's yet another reason why people should get out and vote.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake, the election in August has significant consequences for everyone in Wisconsin. And they may be more immediately palpable than some of the national races I think you're alluding to. And it's important that folks are informed, that folks realize that this election is so significant. It's not just the primaries. And you're totally right. I think that we need to continually reinforce for folks that these questions about how our government ultimately is set up, you know, whether the legislature can pigeonhole federal money or whether the governor is going to maintain the authority to dole it out appropriately, well, that's on the line. And those important questions, everyone should have a say in those things. And this is our opportunity, and this is the time to get out and make sure you have a plan to vote.
If you're just joining us, Scott Thompson is here. He is with Law Forward. We're talking about the importance of voting, the importance of getting registered to vote, myvote.wi.gov. If you go to that website, all you have to do is plug in your address, and the ballot you're going to be using will come up. Every elected official who represents you will come up with all of their contact information, and contact them.
Yes.
That's what those numbers are there for. As always, we encourage you to be respectful, please, because I don't think that helps anyone's cause.
No.
When you yell at a lower-level staffer and swear at them.
Or an intern.
Yes, that seems very counterproductive to me.
Yeah.
Contact your elected officials. They're supposed to represent us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Scott, a question I had for you is, you know, we're seeing stories of people wanting to change the way election officials or poll watchers can watch. When I walk into a polling place, I should be able to walk in, get my ballot. If I'm already registered, I know what ward I live in. I know where I'm going. I get my ballot, fill it out, put it in the machine, and walk out. I shouldn't have to worry about people following me around or look, trying to like see close to what I'm doing to make sure that there's no quote unquote, you know, shenanigans going on. Even though, as you said just before, we have very safe and free elections and fair elections here in Wisconsin. But, you know, we're just seeing now people trying to cause so many problems. I just want to make sure that people know that when they walk through the door, they have the right to do it without being bothered.
So let me make something clear. You know, Wisconsin's election system depends on our municipal clerks. Those are the folks that run our elections in our communities. In fact, many of your listeners probably know their local clerk. That's how it's supposed to be. And we can depend on these people. Wisconsin's clerks have run our elections successfully for a very long time, and they're going to continue to do so. But you make a really interesting point. You know, there are individuals, you know, it's not a large group of people, but there are individuals who have tried to use process to interfere with others' right to vote. Now, I'm not truly worried that that is going to be a massive problem for the average voter. And what I can tell you is that Law Forward and allied organizations are ready in the event that something would ever happen that would start compromising folks' votes at polling locations here in Wisconsin. And so at the end of the day, I want folks to know that the people in charge, their local clerks, are good at what they do, and that we can rely on them to make sure that our polling locations are safe and secure. And as you said, you can get in, you can get your ballot, and make sure it's counted.
And you brought up your organization as well as Allied. Something that we don't talk about, a lot of people don't know about, is this overarching thing of what it is voter protection. I used to work in campaigns, And depending on the size of the campaign, you would have a lawyer or many lawyers or experts on hand to say if there's something going on. You work in the world of voter protection, making sure people have that right to vote, that it's never encumbered, that there's no stopping people if, unless it's like a major situation. But like if someone's trying to interfere or intimidate, there's voter protection on the ground who can walk in and be like, nope, this is what's going to happen. This is what you need to do. And that's kind of where you and your group and other groups come in, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, for example, I think there's been a lot of confusion around absentee ballots for the last, I don't know how long in Wisconsin. But it's been particularly acute for Wisconsin voters with disabilities who, regardless of previous Supreme Court rulings, have the federal right to have someone else return their absentee ballot to help them make sure they can vote. And that's one piece where we have seen confusion all over the state, where some individuals, poll workers, are unsure about what the law is. So frequently, if something is, you know, up for or confusing at a polling location, if we find out about it, usually just calling the clerk and reminding them of what the law is enough to make sure that that ballot gets counted. But I really want to highlight that issue just one more time. Voters with disabilities in Wisconsin, you have a right to have someone else help you return your absentee ballot, to place it in the mail, to return it to the clerk's office, or to place it in a Dropbox, which, as folks, I imagine many of your listeners are aware, were recently declared to be legal under Wisconsin law if the local municipality authorizes them.
Scott Thompson is here from Law Forward. Scott, we had a question on the text line about these two referenda that are coming up August 13th. We'll talk about those in more depth when we return. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, day two of the Republican National Convention Fiserv Forum, over our shoulders here in downtown Milwaukee. Sweet Cal B back in Waukesha on the board. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Scott Thompson is here from Law Forward. We're talking about voters' rights, voters' protections, the importance of voting in general, and making a plan to vote. MyVote.wi.gov is a great place to go. Be a voter. Mm-hmm. Everybody who's anybody wants to be a voter.
Be cool. Be cool. A voter.
All the cool kids are voting. We had a question, Scott, on the text line from a listener on WFHR. Can we talk a little bit more about the referendums so people know how to answer them?
Sure. So both of the referenda target a shift from a shift in power, really, that would give the legislature more authority over federal funds and financial decision making. And it would be taking that power, in effect, from the governor. And so voting no on these referenda would, in effect, foreclose the legislature from inflating its power beyond how we currently understand it. The language of these amendments can be a bit confusing, but I think the important thing to remember is that both of them are about inflating the power of our state legislature, which, as I think folks know, has had a penchant for trying to make itself stronger and stronger over the last, dozen or so years here.
Yes, essentially, since Scott Walker lost and Tony Evers won, they have been trying to consolidate power in the legislature and take more power away from the governorship. And I know I may be oversimplifying this, Scott, but again, this takes away the governor's power to spend federal dollars if an emergency like COVID-19, when we had the COVID lockdowns and all of that, and we had got all of this federal money that came into Wisconsin, Governor Evers was the one who decided where those dollars would go. So he either directed them to communities to get them more PPE or more tests, or he directed it at small Main Street businesses, trying to help Main Street businesses stay alive. If you pass these referendums, if you say yes in August, we could still be waiting for that money to get spent.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real personal issue for me. I mean, my fiance is a healthcare worker, responded to the COVID-19 crisis here in Madison, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. We need to be able to respond effectively when situations arise. You know, I can promise you that exactly what the language of the amendment will mean will be fought out in the courts after it would be put into place, but in order to prevent that type of shift in power, voters have an opportunity to raise their voices in August to say how they feel. And I think that comes back to what we've been saying all along in this conversation. You're right, voting is real cool. The cool kids are doing it. And you got to make sure you're registered. You got to make sure you think about what you're going to vote on, who you're going to vote for, and that you actually make a plan to do that. All of these other conversations, you know, they're theoretical until you meet the ballot box. And so I always tell people, make sure you got a plan, make sure you vote.
Mm-hmm. MyVote.wi.gov, yep. Simplest place to start, MyVote.wi.gov.
There was a gentleman, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't know exactly where it's at, but right here, I found it. A gentleman named Jeff from Madison texted in yesterday because we were talking about voting and making a plan and knowing about what's going on when you're voting, where you're voting at by going to myvote.wi.gov. He said, I drive school bus, so I have to vote early as I never know when I happen to work on voting day. And I think that's very important to remember is that you may think I have that Tuesday off. Well, Tuesday, you get a flat tire on the way to the polling place. Your car could break down. You got to go pick up your mom from the hospital. A dozen things can happen. So it's best to make a plan. I always think it's best to vote early when you know you can do it. And if you want to vote on the day, there's nothing wrong with that. But just know that things come up and you can make a contingency plan, if you will, if you might foresee something happening. So just that idea of making a plan is so very important because some people just think, well, I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to drive my polling place, and I'll be done. True, but let's think about other things too.
If something comes up.
Yep, and find out if your friend needs a ride to the poll.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. And I mean, even if, you know, the weather has been pretty awful, at least in Madison for the last, I don't know, few months. Things happen. Thankfully, in Wisconsin, every qualified voter can vote absentee. You don't need a reason to have an absentee ballot. And so if you have any reason to think that you're not going to be able to make it on election day, or heck, if you just want to be prepared, you can get your absentee ballot and you can make sure it's cast in advance just to make sure that there's no uncertainty on election day.
Mm-hmm. Make a plan.
Make a plan.
Plan on voting. Be a voter.
Be cool.
Be cool. It's very, very important. And vote no on those two referenda.
Scott Thompson is cool. He's a voter. Be like Scott.
I'm gonna write that down. I'm going to tell my mom you said that.
All right. Boom. I did it. I have clout.
Yes. Briefly, Scott, in the couple of minutes that we have left, we got about 3 minutes left. If anything happens when people go to cast their ballots, they should contact Law Forward. If someone is, I don't know, following them around too closely inside their polling place or breathing on them or trying to look over their shoulders, there are avenues to make complaints about that, correct?
Yeah, and honestly, the first thing you should do at a polling place is just talk to a worker at the polling location. These folks are in contact with the chief inspectors for that location. And like I said, we can really trust our local clerks to make sure things get done correctly. And so if something does happen at a polling place, you're likely have a friend there, one of the poll workers who can help you sort it out. You know, if things escalate, you know, of course we're always there to help. Law Forward is always there to help voters. But really, I think, again, we have a great system of municipal clerks in our across our state, and we can rely on them and trust them when things happen at polling places on election day.
And if you are really interested, I'm sure every municipality is looking for more poll workers. They can never have enough poll workers.
Yes, absolutely. It's a great way to help out, and I know that it's a good way to get involved, even in a very nonpartisan way, just to make sure that folks are getting their ballots cast and that our election system works the way it's supposed to.
Scott Thompson has been our guest with Law Forward. Thank you so very much, Scott. I have a feeling we will be speaking to you again before the November election. Appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you very much. News is coming up next, and then when we return, we're going to do a little update on lake sitting, axe throwing, California guy Eric Hovde.
Favorite.
And also, we have an update on Wisconsin Congressman Glenn Grothman. That is all on the way. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, day two of the Republican National Convention, Fiserv Forum, right over our shoulder here. You can always join us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, Suite Cal B, back at the studio in Waukesha, ready to take your calls. You can also leave a text if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just want to remind you, Civic Media, we have special broadcast coverage every night this week for the RNC, 7 to 8 p.m., hosted by Terry Bell. Todd Alba, of course, doing his show from noon to 2 p.m. He is in Wisconsin Media Row near Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee, followed by Maggie Dawn, and then, of course, Devil's Advocates Radio. So we'll have all kinds of coverage about the RNC as it is in town until Thursday. Wanted to do a little update on a couple of things.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about lake sitting, axe throwing, California guy Eric Hovde in a while.
My favorite California landowner.
Yeah. Eric Hovde in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel column from Daniel Bice. Eric Hovde would be one of the richest U.S. senators if he wins this fall. Financial disclosures filed late Sunday. The first time he's filed. He listed assets worth between $195.4 million and $564.5 million. I love
it. That's a
pretty wide gap, is it not?
That's a very, like, hey, how much is that? How much is that Sarah right there? That's between $400 and $500. I'll buy, but if you say like between $400 and $10,000, no, I want any more information.
Eric Hovde with assets worth between $195.4 million and $564.5 million. His liabilities and mortgages and lines of credit range from $11 million to $53 million. If he would get elected, that mean Hovde's net worth just skyrockets him over Florida Republican Rick Scott, Utah Republican Mitt Romney.
Yeah, yeah. And oh, he's so rich.
And
was
they
so
are
rich.
So that whole family.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
Virginia Democrat Mark Warner, Hovde would jump over all of them as far as one of the highest earners in Congress.
And don't forget, you know, further than our senior senators, a sentence I hate saying, if he gets into office, that worth will only skyrocket as well. It won't only skyrocket him to the, top of the list. It will make him even more wealthy. He will become a billionaire probably within the first term, because these people who always come through saying, I am the working man's, they're always rich when they come in. They get like $20, $30, $40 million richer every time, because that's just what happens.
Well, and then it also helps if you can legislate and make changes to, say, the tax code,
yeah,
which will benefit people in your income bracket, and the rest of us maybe not so much.
No,
because
no,
that's essentially what happened last time with our senior senator, Ron Johnson, who, when they were trying to pass Paul Ryan's college dream,
yeah,
of tax reform, and Ron Johnson held out for a special consideration that was a huge benefit to Diane Hendricks.
Scott Walker's favorite.
Scott Walker's favorite, and also to Ron Johnson's family.
Oh, yeah. He
Look,
is,
it's funny how that works.
He was swimming in money before. Now he's boating through money. It's just absolutely, it's this line they always try to sell on, and that they're here for you. We want to get tax breaks for real Americans. No, because they think real Americans are the ones who can afford a country club that even the rich people can't get into. It's about saving their own bottom line and about increasing their value, their worth, their power. And that's why you got to look at these elected officials. And this is across the board. This is either party. Either party is, you know, they have taken advantage of information and actions that have created wealth for them and their families. You look at how much they're worth when they walk in the door and how much they're worth when they walk out the door. It is incredible, because it's always rigged for them. And that includes these quote unquote, I don't even like calling them tax breaks, because it's rigging the game.
Well, we're going to talk further about changing the tax code and what that's going to mean,
yeah,
for a vast majority of us who are not part of the 1%.
Yeah.
Who will, I know, shock, shock, will probably end up paying more. I know, it's shocking.
Well, I mean, right here, Andrew listening in Verona on WMDX says, wow, Hovde, a man of the people. I'm sure he knows the pain of an expensive grocery trip. Next press conference, let's ask him how much a gallon of milk costs. I'm sure he'll know. He might not know that, but he will definitely be able to tell you that he is from Wisconsin.
Right.
He is excellent at telling you that he is from Wisconsin.
He's a Wisconsin guy, although, yeah, he doesn't seem to like Wisconsinites very much.
No.
We're fat, we're lazy.
Yeah.
Even our farmers are lazy. I mean, how hard is it now? You get to just ride around on a tractor all day.
He thinks that alcohol laws should be amended. I mean, a second prohibition. I don't know.
We should ban alcohol, mm-hmm, unless you distill it yourself.
If you're old, you can't vote. And if you're going to be old, you're going to be dead soon.
Yeah, so why bother?
I mean, it's just absolutely just, this guy is, you know, all jokes aside to what he says. Because here's the thing is, he comes out with these ads all the time where he's talking about how he's from Wisconsin. But then what happens is we hear him talking in interviews, and he's really showing who he is, because he doesn't have policy positions.
He has no policy positions.
He does not. Other than he thinks America good, war bad, defend America. And he, you want to talk about walking away from the abortion discussion? He was a man who was pro-life without exception. Now it's like,
wait a minute. Oh, I didn't mean that.
I thought it was opposite day, everybody. Isn't that Wednesday? But yeah, it's. He has no policy positions. He has no real way of distinguishing himself as a candidate, as a Republican, in a time when it's all he has to do is say, like, it's about the babies and it's about America and it's about your money. And he's halfway there, but he doesn't even do that. He's just so bad at campaigning.
And please don't be fooled by this whole Republican backing away from wanting a national abortion ban. They want a national, mm-hmm, abortion ban.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump now as well, it's back to the States and everybody's happy and it's working up beautifully, except for the women who are left to bleed out in emergency room bathrooms, yeah, and things like that, you know, but we won't focus on that. They will ultimately plan to pass a national abortion ban. They will outlaw contraception. They will eventually outlaw, at least in my estimation, I think this is on their wish list, no-fault divorce.
Yes. I mean, they're going to make being a woman in this country so difficult. If you have any other thought than, my man, my children, my body is for providing children, and my hands are for providing for my family. And If you want to be someone who wants to be a stay-at-home mom and have children and raise them, and you want your husband to be the one who is the one who provides, great, as long as it's your choice. But this is not something that we should legislate into reality, where basically the final step is like, you know, women, you don't even have to go to college.
Why bother?
Don't even. And high school, it's, I mean, really, you're just reading some fancy books in English class. You could get ahead of the game by getting married younger.
Well, drop out after eighth grade.
Yeah, eighth grade. Well, let's let you stay until 16. That seems the politically correct thing to do. So they're waiting in the tall grass. That's all they're doing. Their websites might change, but their minds have not changed.
Absolutely.
One bit.
Absolutely. Very much so. All right. And then over the next few minutes.
Yeah.
A little update on one of our favorite, most rumpled congressmen, Glenn Grothman.
I think he is the most rumpled in Congress. I think he wins that award.
Rumpel Grothman, as we called him last week.
Ugh.
We played a clip from Glenn Grothman last week talking about how the goal of feminism has always been just to destroy the family, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, Calvin, let's play that first clip one more time, please.
I ask people what's different about today, what are the problems today. I think the number one thing is they feel the breakdown of the family. And when I ask them why they think there was a breakdown of family, maybe they say vaguely a decline in the importance of religion. But actually, there are people who all along wanted to destroy the family. Okay, if you look in the 60s, the feminist movement, Kate Millay, was anti-family. A goal of the feminist movement was to get the man out of the family. Angela Davis, you know, superstar radical during the 60s, one of her goals was to destroy the family.
I missed that memo.
Me too.
I completely missed. I feel badly. I was left off that mailing list.
You know, Jane, Angela Davis. Enough. He almost Mike Johnson that, where he's like Angela Davis and just walks away.
Now, those were comments that Glenn Grothman made on a podcast.
Yes.
He did make similar comments on the floor of the House.
Yes.
Just a couple of weeks ago. Let's do that little Rumpel Grothman update, Calvin.
Every year, of course, I am lobbied by people who want the government, therefore, to take up an even greater role in their children's life, be it daycare, be it preschool, be it after-school programs, whatever. They clearly want the children raised by the government. So I hope the press corps picks up on this, and I hope Republican and Democrat leadership put together some sort of plan for January in which we work our way back to where America was in the 1960s.
The 1960s. Let's work our way back to the heyday, the halcyon days of the 1960s, Greg Bach. I don't know, before the Civil Rights Act and before women could get credit cards or buy a house or...
Yeah.
Let those beautiful, beautiful, good old days without no-fault divorce and...
Jane, I don't know. As a white guy in America, I don't know what you're talking about. It was a pretty good time. I'm loving life. It doesn't really affect me that much. So I don't know why it's letting it affect you. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Why does it bother you so much, Jane?
I'm overly sensitive.
Be like me.
Yeah, I'm overly sensitive that way.
You're so emotional.
Andrew from Maine texting in, listening on WAUK. How are men supposed to earn enough money to support a family of four by themselves?
That
is a very good question, Andrew. And apparently, if you can't do that, then you're not a good man. Then you're lazy and you're watching porn in your basement.
Well, why don't we also then? I mean, I guess because, you know, Rumpel Grothman does not want the government to be too much in control. But yeah, okay. If you want to go back to the '60s, let's go back to '60s prices and '60s availability and things like that, where a house didn't cost, you know,
$400,000
for a medium-sized house. Let's go back to a time when we all want to pay less for things, and that's great. But unfortunately, that's not a reality for a lot of people. The reality is that parents have to both work the jobs, and maybe sometimes they work two jobs, and that isn't ideal, but it has to happen because we don't really have a system set up where just the breadwinner it can do unless you make beyond six figures and more. I mean, it's just like a family of four with one what is that person doing for a living to afford to support the entire family? I'm guessing it's not just working mid-level at a advertising firm or a marketing firm or anywhere else. It's tough.
Sue from Franklin texting in, this is all so frustrating. How do we get people to understand, especially women, many in their 20s, how do we get them to hear it and believe it? And Andrew in Verona listening in Madison, Grothman, you moron. People don't want the government to raise their kids. They're too busy working three jobs just to afford food and rent. They're desperate. They are pleading for help from the government because we're supposed to have kids. That's what we do.
That's what people just want, some help. They don't want the government to take over their lives. They don't want to be on assistance forever. But those programs are available for a reason, to help Americans in tough times. And it shouldn't be a stain, and it shouldn't be seen as, oh, the government, people want the government to raise their kids. No, they do not.
No, they don't.
In fact, if anything, they want you to leave their kids alone. Let them raise the kids.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One more break. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. California. California, 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 California. California. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee, day two of the Republican National Convention. Pfizer Forum right over our shoulders here. You can always join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Thank you to all of our guests today. It was a really interesting show. Dr. Kristen Lierley was here to talk about the importance of vaccinations and getting vaccinated for what used to be eradicated childhood diseases like measles.
And the appreciation of a public for such vaccinations we don't have anymore.
No, we certainly don't have anymore. And very important conversation. If you missed it, we also had Scott Thompson here from Law Forward to talk about voters' rights when they head to the polls. We also talked about the two referenda that will be on the August 13th primary ballot. Very, very important that you understand what these two measures will do. And essentially, it takes away more power of the purse from the governor's office and gives it to the Republican-led legislature and the Joint Finance Committee, which loves to sit on millions and millions of dollars that is supposed to be going out to Wisconsin communities to help them fight, I don't know, just innocuous, innocent things like PFAS.
Yeah. Do you like clean water, folks?
Oh, who minds a little poison in their water, Greg?
Makes you stronger, makes you more American, Jane.
Does that help build up your immune system?
Oh, immune system, that's the thing. That's a government invention. I don't believe in immune systems. You listen to doctors.
If you ever miss something and you would like to check it out, just go to civicmedia.us, click on Matt Nair on Air. That will take you to our show page. Every single episode of Matt Nair on Air, going back to when we started in January.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Holy cow.
Is up there, so you can always listen to it as that way. You can download it as a podcast.
Yes, you can go to the website, and or if you like podcasts and you want to listen to it as a podcast, you can go to your podcast distribution center of choice. Find us by searching, download it, subscribe, and then you'll get new episodes. Two new episodes drop every day for each hour of the show, so there's two episodes a day. And then also, and this is just a please and thank you, if you love us, if you think we're five-star worthy, rate the show on your podcast distribution center of choice. That rating will actually help us bump up to get more visibility for what we're doing here on the show. And if we are coming in below that 5-star, we don't want you to not comment, but leave that comment to us. Send that comment to, and this is the email address, calvin@angelfire.com/complaint department/forward, all spelled out, all lowercase, .edu. That goes to Calvin. He'll take care of all those complaints, questions, and comments.
Yeah, it's a really easy email to get to Calvin if you want to complain.
So I mean to put it in the show notes every time, and I forget.
Just keep forgetting. That's
keep
okay.
Forgetting.
Go to civicmedia.us. Click on shows. Click on Matt Nair on Air. If you want all of our coverage, our news team is doing a great job covering the RNC.
Yeah.
That is civicmedia.us/RNC. And speaking of our news department, too, they do great work highlighting stories in our local communities all over Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it's not just news, like you're up to date what's going on in the world and politics and your community, but we also have great stories being written by our media. Brittany Merlot writes amazing articles in our weather section, so you can get all sorts of information by going to civicmedia.us and just kind of perusing. I love that word.
Perusing. Good word.
The website to see what's going on and what we have to offer. Lots of other shows to listen to as podcasts. You can subscribe. But we're here all day, every day, and we want to be your friend, so check us out.
I want to talk about this real quickly in the couple of minutes that we have left, and we mentioned this briefly yesterday. I met a lovely lady out at the Waukesha Farmers Market on Saturday. Her name is Renee. She unfortunately lost her mother within the last week, who was 86 years old.
I didn't know it was that soon.
Yes, it had been very recent. And unfortunately, Renee cannot keep her mother's dog named Gizmo. Mm-hmm. He's a little Shih Tzu mix. I met him. He's adorable. He's 10 to 11 years old. She is looking for a loving home to rehome him because she travels all the time.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in finding out more about this little Gizmo, he has no health issues. He's up to date on all his shots. The vet can provide all the records for Gizmo. Renee says he barks at Amazon trucks. Who doesn't?
I do all the time.
Loves to play chase.
Happy Prime Day.
Loves as many walks as he can get. Loves belly rubs. His safe place is under the bed. If you would like to find out more about Gizmo, I will get you in touch with Renee. She seemed like a lovely lady, and she's just kind of beside herself. My heart just crumbled.
Absolutely. And when you describe it, belly rubs, I was just belly rubbing Maybell yesterday, and I did love her so much. But, yes, thank you to all the folks yesterday who did reach out trying to get some information from us. I know that I believe Carmella, our buddy Carmella, put it on her Facebook page. So, you know, if you know anybody, if you are interested, email janesays@civicmedia.us and we'll begin the process of setting something up where you can talk to the young woman who spoke with Jane this past weekend. But we'd love to give this dog a good home.
Absolutely. And just to take the weight off this poor Renee, who just is... She's grieving the loss of her mother. She's grieving not being able to keep Gizmo. And she really wants to find the best home for him.
Absolutely.
So Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Busy, busy show on the way tomorrow. Amicus, a law review host, Jim Santel, going to join us at 10:33.
Love him.
Lots of stuff in the news. Eileen Cannon, of course, in Florida, just tossed the classified documents case against Donald Trump. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll also talk about some of the recent Supreme Court decisions, which have raised some eyebrows. Fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke.
I get Jim Santel and Pam Yonke
in the same day. She will be here at 11:06 to talk about the issues facing our farmers and what they would like to see coming down the road and what kind of assistance they need. It's been a very challenging time for farmers with the weather that we've had.
Yeah.
And then we'll wrap up the show as we do every Wednesday from 11:30 to 12 with Dr. Laura Hanks and public cervix announcement. Again, if you ever have any questions, health-related questions, you can send those in too, and we'll address them on the air with Dr. Laura Hanks on Wednesday's public cervix announcement. The email is janesays@civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and Chris and Corey and Max, the entire team of engineers it takes to get us on the air.
Oh, my.
Thank you most of all to you for calling and texting and listening. Remember, being uninformed does not make you strong or protect you. It just leaves you vulnerable.
Darn right.
I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.